God bless you all, gang. Jesus is Lord. If I was going to name this preaching today, I'd call it Pretty Girls, Handsome Men, and Preacher's Kids. The dangers that all three are under. You know, we're told to beware the schemes of the devil, so he's always planning. And beauty in our world is so elevated. A pretty woman doesn't care about her social status. She could end up marrying billionaires because of her looks. One of the most dangerous positions to be in if you're a pretty woman, good-looking woman. Very, very dangerous because you could be used. You could bring down 50,000 men, 1 million men, 100 million men if you throw that pretty body in a magazine. You could be used by Satan to do his dirty work. Good-looking women, pretty women, beware. You know, beware parents of telling your daughters how beautiful they look. That's fine, but you better balance it with, I'm looking at your soul. I want a beautiful spirit and soul. Because what a pretty girl can do is tempt, allure, destroy. And I'm just going to go to a couple of verses. You can find them all over the Bible, but I wanted to hit on a couple of things. This is David, King David. He was the tops, right? This is in 2 Samuel. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. Very interesting. He didn't go to fight. He stayed behind. Here we go. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, of who he was. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her. For she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. Absolute nightmare. Why? Because this woman was beautiful. There could have been some hanky-panky there. That woman Bathsheba, she knew David because her husband was Uriah, which is one of David's 50 top generals. This was a disaster, gang. David is completely blinded by lust. And if you were to ask me if I was a betting man, I'd say this woman put her body exactly where she knew the king's window was. And she was naked, taking a shower, you could say. Satan used her. Yes. Satan used that situation to practically destroy David, kill thousands of men, destroy David's family. There was all kinds of sexual sin from there on in. Now, yes, David repented with tears. He was forgiven. But yet there was a consequence for this one act. And I'll read it again. And it came to pass in an evening that David arose off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Pretty women. You know, and we introduce makeup, we introduce all the hair stuff, we introduce all the lustful wear. And the times are changing. It seems like women want to be ugly now, that we are in outer darkness. And it's getting tougher and tougher to find a good-looking woman because it seems like they're taking on male traits. It's the last days. They don't even want to look good anymore. That's what it seems. However, this is an age-old thing. Beautiful women in this instance, because you still can't, because everyone still knows what a beautiful woman looks like. It's like something you can't even describe. It's just that God has put it in her and God has put it in you. You know where it is. Now, lust is a whole different story when you take that beauty into another dimension. Pretty girls, Satan loves to use them. Now, what does Peter say? Peter says in 1 Peter, likewise, you wives, in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word, be won by the conversation of the wife. That's nice. Even if your husband is not saved, your conduct could bring them into the kingdom. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair, the wearing of gold, jewelry, or the putting on of apparel, clothes. Nothing's changed. Even in the physical, we know God's word is eternal. However, in the physical, this was, handwritten 2,000 years ago. Nothing's changed. The adorning of the hair, the wearing of jewelry, and the clothes. So Peter is going in reverse here. He's telling young women, beware of this. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, So the other things are corruptible. Because in most cases, if not all the cases, they're used to allure. Look at me. Look at me. My flesh is special. That's corrupt. But let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is a great price. Women, beware. Because honestly, with makeup, you lose a few pounds, with makeup, with clothes, with hair, any woman could be beautiful these days if they wanted to be. You keep your frame a little bit in shape and, anything could be made to be incredibly alluring. With all the pornography, with all the insanity, all the lust, we're warned. We're warned. Because, see, Satan will use anything he can to bring souls to hell. He can't do it, but he sets you up through a thing called a temptation. He sets things up. He has no power to actually do it, but he puts the noose around your neck, but you're the one who tightens it and hangs yourself. This is what temptations do. Beware, pretty women. Your prettiness is going to leave, but while you have it, you better guard it. You better protect it. Don't use it for the alluring of men. Let it be the inside heart that attracts, souls to Jesus. Now, handsome men. Satan wants to use a good-looking guy just like he could use a good-looking girl. Beware. Handsome men, like just like a girl, it's you could use it to destroy things if you want to take it offensively, but you better watch out defensively. You better protect yourself from, women getting thrown at you. Let me read you a little interesting story here. It's in Genesis 39:5. While I'm looking for it, it's about Joseph. And Joseph was probably a good-looking guy. Now remember, Joseph's great-grandfather was Abraham. Abraham was married to Sarah. And we're told Sarah was a very beautiful woman. I've read some fables that people would stay outside the door just to get a look at her when she was actually in her 70s. That's how beautiful she was. But here's a setup for Joseph probably had that good-looking genetic in him. Now, this is a story. Remember Joseph? He was the son of Jacob. The brothers ganged up on him, threw him in the pit. He went into slavery, but he was such a good guy. He ends up being second in command of Egypt. But this is very interesting. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him in the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in the land. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over all his house, and all that he had put into his hand. So Potiphar was a captain right under Pharaoh. He sees this young man, Joseph. He gives him power over everything. And this is what happens. And it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. So because of Joseph's obedience to God, he's actually, anything Joseph's involved in is getting blessed. Isn't that good to know? And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said to him, "Lie with me." Here's the guy, the head butler, you could say Joseph was. He was in charge of everything. He didn't have any power, but Potiphar gave him everything. His wife sees him. He's probably a heck of a good-looking guy, knowing the genetics coming down. The wife says, "Lie with me." If you're a good-looking guy, you better watch it. You better watch it. These are stories are for us. Satan uses everything he can to knock you off your block. Here's Potiphar's wife. And granted, she probably, was a box of chocolates. She was probably good on the eyes. She was probably a good-looking woman. She was the captain's wife. I'm sure he had his pick of women. Here she is, trying to seduce Joseph. How many times the seduction destroy a marriage, destroy a lineage, destroy everything? Good-looking guys, beware. Let's continue to read. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused. He refused. "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I." So Joseph knew his position in the house, but this is what Joseph says. "Neither hath he kept back anything from me, but thee, because you are his wife. How then can I do this wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he did not listen to her or ever lie with her. That woman was attacking Joseph every single day, trying to seduce him. But his foundation was on the rock, because he said, "I sin against God." He didn't say because, oh, well, it's a righteous thing. I'm not supposed to do it or whatever. He knew that action was going to be against God. And what was the setup? Probably he was a good-looking guy. What was the setup with David? She was a good-looking woman. Beware. Beware. Satan uses all he can. Now I'd like to talk to you about preachers' kids. You know, I got a soft heart for preachers' kids. Because, you know, looking back, standing back on the sidelines, you see a lot of nightmares take place. And I won't go to Bible and verse here. I'll just say what's on my heart. But the Lord says that to whom much is given, much is expected. And Satan also knows he could destroy a testimony by destroying the family. And kids are part of the family. Now, I understand you cannot find God in a book. You could read a book. You could have a book feed you once you're saved. But God is spiritual. God is a spirit. So you must be born from above. And it's a gift from God. I can't give you a 10-step plan to get there, gang. But I can tell you, Satan still doesn't want you reading this word of God. He much rather have you in total sin, or at the very least, he'd rather have you happy, fat and happy, and go straight to hell and never know anything. But if I'm growing up in a Christian household, and I'm hearing the word of God, and hearing the word of God, and I'm not caring about the word of God, my heart will slowly get hardened, to the point where the word of God means nothing to me. I have no fear of God. I don't know God. I'm involved in church. It doesn't matter. And here comes the powers of darkness. Because to whom much is given. You heard all those sermons. You heard all the testimonies. You may have seen miracles in your church. And you don't care. And I believe this happens a lot to preachers' kids. You know. It's probably a heck of a lot easier for a drunkard son seeing his dad stagger into the house, fall over, beat his mom. It's probably easier for that kid to come to know Jesus because he's backed against the wall. He needs God. He'll get him on his knees. He's screaming out to God. But a preacher kid, totally surrounded by the music, totally surrounded by the nice dress, totally surrounded by all the rituals and the traditions and all of it. And many times Satan swoops in and I could see what he would be saying. Oh, you heard the word of God. You wanted to turn your back on it. You didn't want to listen to it. You wanted to rebel. All right, you better duck because I'm coming at you. Preachers' kids, beware, beware. Get on your knees. Get a fresh relationship with Jesus Christ each and every day. Commune with him. Be baptized with him. Eat his bread fresh every day. Renew your mind. Do not be conformed to the things of this world, but be renewed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a daily walk. It's not an education at a university. It's not getting an MBA in theology. It's all garbage. Unless somehow it leads people to Christ. Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. Remember, there was no written New Testament when he walked. All was the Old Testament, but he transformed it into the New Covenant. So when he read it, he saw Jesus. In the Old Testament, he said, everything I've ever learned. And remember, he was a highfalutin Pharisee. This teacher called Gamaliel. I mean, even Josephus talks about this great teacher. And Paul says he taught, you know, at the knees of Gamaliel. He was taught by him. Paul says, I had to get rid of all of it. I count it all dung just for the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You don't need any education. You don't need anything in this. All you need is a broken and contrite heart. That's all you need. And realize that you are a creature and there is a creator. And then you got to realize everything is under the curse of death. And there had to be a sacrifice to give you a way of escape. And that sacrifice was the Word of God manifesting himself in the flesh and dying on a cross for your sins. So I'm wrapping it up now. Little warning. Pretty girls, handsome men, preacher's kids. Beware. It's a message to all of us. Stay in Jesus. And God bless you all. And amen.